We've been hearing the words of Isaiah the prophet over these last several weeks. And as we heard last week, Isaiah the prophet is a person who lived in a particular context. He lived around the 8th century BC, 800 or so years before Jesus walked the earth. And the message that God gave to Isaiah was about his present context, about what was happening in Judah, in Jerusalem, in that time, 800 years before Christ. Things about the rise and fall of kings and kingdoms, about justice and righteousness in the present. But the words that Isaiah spoke were also about the future. They were about Judah's future. They were about our future. He spoke of the exile and the return that would happen a couple of centuries later. He spoke of the coming Messiah and the kingdom of God. And today's passage speaks all the way to the end of time. Centuries and centuries into Isaiah's future, and it's still about our future. Today's passage from Isaiah describes this future hope that was echoed in the ministry of Jesus and throughout the New Testament down to the final pages of the book of Revelation, where we find it quoted there. We're still waiting and hoping for this glorious vision of Isaiah to come to pass. In verse 6 of chapter 25, Isaiah describes this great feast, this great party in the coming kingdom of God. On this mountain, he says, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wine. It's a feast for all people. All the peoples of the earth will be invited to the Lord's tables. Jesus says many will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus told a story about a man who was throwing a banquet and had invited many guests to come and be at his table. But in Jesus' story, everyone that he invited was simply too busy to come to the banquet that the man had prepared. Everyone had their excuses. One said, oh, I just bought a field. I have to go see about that. Another, I just bought 12 yoke of oxen, kind of like buying a brand new tractor. I just got married, said a third. In frustration that he couldn't fill the seats at his table, the owner of the house sent the invitation out into all the streets and alleyways of the city. He invited the ones that no one else wanted to invite. He invited everyone until his house was full. In Jesus' story, everyone is welcome to the feast. Those who would have been rejected, those who would have been written off, those who weren't good enough to get an invitation to the table, got an invitation in Jesus' story. And those who rejected the invitation missed out on something amazing. Isaiah continues in verses 7 and 8 that the Lord will act to destroy death. On this mountain, he says, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The earth in Isaiah's vision is covered in a shroud, covered in a black sheet of death. All the people of the world are in this same predicament, unable to escape the pall and specter of death. Death is more than just the end of life. It's all that opposes life, all that prevents well-being, all that acts against God's intentions for life. Walter Brueggemann describes this passage saying that when God says that he will swallow up death forever, you can imagine like a great sea monster swallowing up a smaller fish. God is swallowing up what seems so incredible, what seems so huge and inescapable. Writing about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that death has been swallowed up in victory. says that death is the last enemy, but in God's time, it will be swallowed whole by life and victory and peace, and a joyful celebration will commence. And so Isaiah says, the sovereign Lord will wipe away all the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. This is the part of the passage that's quoted in those last chapters of Revelation at the very end of our Bibles. In John's vision of the new heaven and the new earth, when the old order of things, the one founded on death and pain, when that old order has passed away, and God says, I am making all things new. It follows that there will be no more tears, because there is no more cause for tears. No more cause for sadness or pain. Death is everything contrary to life. And once death is swallowed up, the tears, the mourning, the crying, the pain, all of that will come to an end. Isaiah says that he will remove his people's disgrace. That disgrace is that we are not strong enough to fight death. We are powerless and inadequate to live forever. But it took the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to undo that curse of sin and death, for God to remove that shame and disgrace, and to enable us to live, truly live, once again. And so finally in Isaiah it says, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. He saved us. For all of this we wait. To feast in the kingdom of God, where death will be no more, tears no longer needed, and shame banished. We wait in hope and in faith. No matter how long it takes. Maybe it will be tomorrow. Maybe it will be centuries or millennia in the future. But in confident hope, we wait with Isaiah for that day. We wait for a great and glorious day when we gather around the table in the kingdom of God. And until that time, we come to the Lord's table as we do today. In a time when death still has its grip on our world, yet celebrating the decisive victory over death that God has already won when he raised Jesus Christ to life again. We are waiting for that shroud to be removed forever, for our tears to be dry, and to enjoy the feast with God that never ends. And this tiny cup, this little piece of bread that we share together, are just a taste of that rich banquet that the Lord is preparing. With confident hope, we wait for that day. Amen.